At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Blood pressure's through the roof. Hello. Okay, I think we're live. Are we live?
Yeah, we're live. We're live.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let some people trickle in. But wow, not doing the intro. It threw me off. Okay. Anyway,
that's true. We didn't do the intro.
My mind is going a mile a minute. We'll give people a couple minutes to join, but welcome to another episode of Messi and Co. Post-game live stream after an insane 2-2 draw of Inter Miami versus Nashville SC in the CONCACAF Champions Cup round of 16. I'm here with my amazing co-host, Gian. Hi. How are we doing?
We are, you know what? I was kind of a bit angry, I think, throughout the game, seeing a lot of the stuff that was going on, especially from the beginning. Like, I wasn't happy with that lineup and that formation that I saw when it was announced. I had a feeling that we weren't going to be as good as we were against Orlando in the first few games. So it was almost like I knew I was right, like as this was going along, and I was just kind of, I wouldn't say fuming, but I was like angry. And then something, like things didn't change as we were going through the game. I was expecting certain changes and all that, but I'm definitely more at peace thanks to Suarez. So I'll say that a very fortunate 2-2 tie for Inter Miami, something that could have been a lot worse.
Probably should have been a lot worse, if not for, like you said, the heroics of Messi and Luis Suarez and a few other decent performances. But I mean, you know, what has to be said, and look, we'll take the 2-2 draw. Obviously, we got the away goals, which count in CONCACAF. And I like our chances, you know, playing at home next week against this team with hopefully a healthy Jordi Alba, who makes a huge difference. But, you know, the first thing I'll say is that I think Tata got this completely wrong with his tactical choices, with his substitutions or really lack thereof, and the overall game plan and the lack of adjustments. I mean, we're already getting some comments about the fact that the formation was, you know, not what people wanted. It makes no sense to me. I mean, look, if we were playing a more high-powered offense juggernaut and we knew there was no Alba and we knew that, you know, we were playing midweek, a tough environment, Redondo, all of those things, I could almost be like, okay, you know, we understand we have to sit back in a hostile environment. Da, da, da. We had 78% possession in this game in a 3-5-2. And it just, I don't know why we did it. It lent no favors to our offense. It lent no favors. Oh, you got the ticker going. It gave no favors to, you know, our strengths. And all of the players were not ready for it. They didn't know what they were supposed to be. They didn't know how to fill up the spaces. They couldn't get the offense moving and being super consistent and getting into those areas in the final pitch. And we got the win, and, you know, we have stars and we have, you know, the greatest player of all time and one of the greatest number nines of all time, which, you know, let us get a good result in the end, but we made it so difficult on ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, obviously with the departure of Yedlin and Alba not being fit from a health standpoint, it looks like he was battling a cold. We understood that there were some changes that had to be made in that lineup as far as personnel is concerned. Now, the thing that I was expecting was, okay, understanding that there needs to be a change because there are two players that, you know, aren't on the team anymore. You want to make sure that whatever change you make is the easiest change and the change that's going to have the least amount of impact on what you've been carrying through from the first game of the season till now that has been very successful for Miami. We know that we won our first game. Second game, we had a really good tie against the LA Galaxy. Third game, we had 5-0 win, a complete demolishment of Orlando. You saw that 4-3-3 formation worked perfectly. You saw that Taylor up front with Messi and Suarez worked really well. You saw that Busquets, Gomez, and Gressel locked down that midfield for us. Those first three games did really good job there. Did really good job also reinforcing on the attack. You saw that line of four knew exactly where they had to be, especially when Freire was inserted into that center back position. Freire and Aviles held their ground, knew exactly where to be, knew where to play off of each other. I mean, it was just, not to go on, but it was perfect. So then when you think about that from a Tata perspective, it's like, okay, let me try to do as minimal changes and keep that formation. That's what I was thinking that he was going to do. Is in that case, to me, it's you don't have Jordi Alba. Hey, who's a guy that has plenty of experience playing for us at that left back position, who has been successful at it, and who is in season form? You go ahead and you could put Noah Allen. That would have been a seamless change, in my opinion. You wouldn't have lost. I mean, yes, I'm sorry, there's a big difference between him and Jordi, but you could still feel safe having that there. And then you think about Gressel. Okay, I don't really have a natural right back on my team. I'm going to go ahead and take Gressel from the midfield, shift him down to the right back position. Hey, Gressel has experience at that right back position. He's played it plenty of times. That's like a natural move for him. So what happens next? I have a spot open now in the midfield. Hey, maybe instead of putting in Redondo, who hasn't had a single game under his belt for Inter Miami, and inserting him into a round of 16 in a CONCACAF Champions Cup, maybe I should put someone like David Ruiz that I trust, because we know that he trusts him, who has experience playing in the midfield. Like, to me, that would have been the more prudent decision-making from Tata. But instead, what does he do? Not only does he change the personnel and insert Redondo into a midfield, now he's doing that in a formation that these guys have not played through these first three games and have not found success. They had 3-5-2
and did terrible with in the preseason. Yeah,
exactly. Terrible. In the preseason, they did terrible with that 3-5-2. So to me, that was also unfair for Redondo, because again, you're inserting him into a high stakes game. And not only are you doing that, but you're inserting him into a formation where the rest of the team doesn't feel comfortable with. Redondo looked really off. I'm sorry. I don't know if there's anybody that can speak highly of Redondo in this game. I don't want to put it on him, because obviously there were a lot of things going on. But to me, Redondo was not accurate in his passes. He was trying to find his positioning. Everybody on that team was trying to find their positioning. So to me, everybody looked lost. I don't know. What did it look like to you? To me, nobody looked like they were in the right spots.
No, I mean, 100%, no one looked like they knew where they were and were in the right spots. I will say for Redondo, I don't think I'll be as hard on him. I think especially the first 30 minutes, I actually thought, for it being his first 30 minutes in a brand new like formation in a terrible environment, I actually thought he was great. In the first 30 minutes, I thought that he was doing a really good job of trying to assert his dominance and try and fit seamlessly into the team. I think as the game went off, especially, you know, with the potential red card that he ended up not getting, and just, you know, when we were playing down, et cetera, I think he started to deteriorate a little bit. But I think he did as good of a job probably as he could in what was, as you just said, a very difficult environment to get into in a formation that made no sense. What it taught me, that doesn't make much sense to me, but I guess my thinking is that Tata Martino does not trust Noah Allen at left back in a 4-4-3. That's what, or 4-3-3. That is what that told me, because, and for all intents and purposes, here I go with that saying again, for all intents and purposes, for real, there is no reason why it shouldn't have been just literally slotting in Noah Allen left back, Gressel right back, and then putting Redondo in Gressel's place in the midfield. No reason why that shouldn't have just happened automatically. I think Tata did not believe at all in Noah Allen being able to anchor it. And, you know, I while he put in so much effort and he had some good moments, there's a clear drop off between Alba and Noah Allen. And I saw it very clearly tonight from an offensive perspective, at least. And I mean, defensive, he got shook a couple of times, but him and Kristoff is such a downgrade in our starting defense from what we saw those first three games. And it worries me. It still doesn't, I think, make up for the fact that, let's say he wanted to start with that, the fact that in the second half we saw zero adjustments and zero changes to the personnel with only two subs, one of them being, you know, close to the 90th minute, just no adjustments and no way of trying to, you know, find their disadvantages and try and, you know, make something happen. It was a poor tactical showing, and we had some moments of brilliance that let us stay in this game. And, you know, Shaq Moore being 5 inches off sides. I would say, though, overall refereeing was bad on both sides, and it was very lackluster. I think as opposed to the LA Galaxy game where we were like, this ref needs to shut up and stop trying to insert himself in every minute. I think this ref didn't insert himself enough. And, you know, the foul on Messi was such a clear red card. Redondo was such a clear red card. I mean, they didn't call anything. And in the end, what it led to was a lot of time wasting by Nashville. Bad play, bad fouls, bad control of the game.
Yeah. I mean, when you saw that lineup, I thought it was weird to me also, because from what you mentioned, as far as like inserting Noah Allen and you lose on offense a bit, like, to me, Robert Taylor should have been there from the beginning. And it was a clear, like, not only was there a clear distinction between Noah Allen and Robert Taylor, but that still wasn't the same position.
Yeah, why didn't Robert Taylor get any minutes in the second
half? Robert, look, there were plenty of opportunity. Like, they were playing a lot through Noah Allen. They were playing more through Noah Allen than they were through Gressel.
Which was ridiculous because Noah Allen couldn't do a forward pass tonight. He really
couldn't. So imagine Taylor instead of Noah Allen. And I had tweeted this. I think Taylor, with the opportunities that Noah Allen have, we could have at least, I think one of those at least would have turned into a goal, because there were plenty of times that Noah Allen had the opportunity to do something more, and it just didn't turn into anything, or it wasn't the best pass at the end. And you can see that Suarez and Messi were visibly like stressed or annoyed at times with some of the decision making that Noah Allen had, at least in the final third, where Messi is expecting maybe that ball to be right outside the penalty area, like Alba tends to cross back in, or Suarez, like they weren't getting those passes. I think that Robert Taylor would have either gotten those passes or have been able to create his own space and create his own opportunity to go. How many times have we seen Robert Taylor have the ball where Noah Allen does? And what does he do? He cuts in and he's able to rip the ball or curl the ball in and score. So I think that would have been a huge difference. I just don't understand. If Noah Allen wasn't a center back in a back line of three, and if he wasn't your left back in a back line of four, why is he your wing back? That made zero sense to me. And then the fact that you understand, like, as you're watching this game, you see that the offense isn't flowing. It's really tough to get to do anything on offense. How do you have Robert Taylor on the bench and you don't put him in the second half? Like, that made zero sense to me.
And everybody was getting tired. Like, the players were getting tired and the game was opening up a lot. And look, if Nashville took advantage of more of their chances, it would have been a very different end goal score line. So, you know, we were getting maybe a little too high on our horse already, thinking we were going to win by all these, you know, all these goals, and that we were going to keep this high firepower.
Well, we
thought we were going to have a different lineup and a different tactics that we expected. And if we had those tactics, I think we would have seen a much different game. But
we tweeted out that it could be that we could see a 3-5-2. But we were never, at least I don't think we were hoping to see a 3-5-2. And I really think that a 4-3-3, and I believe you agree as well, would have made a big difference in this game. I mean, hey, at least we have the magicians Suarez and Messi on our team, because those guys like always make a difference for us. And man, what a beautiful thing for, we expect this from Messi, right? But SWAT is just to continue off of what he's built on over the last few games. I mean, he's got what, this was his third goal in four games for us. His third goal, and I think he has three assists, if I'm not mistaken, in four games thus far. This is everything that you expected when you brought Suarez in from Brazil. Everything
and
you expected.
Extra time. I mean, yeah. Suarez was, you know, hustling all game. And I agree, you know, we are getting already big time performances from him. And now with Campana picking up a foot injury yesterday, hopefully it was only a one game thing, but we may, you know, Suarez may not be able to get the rest as early, maybe in the rotation as planned. Like I would have imagined we probably would have seen some rotations for the game Sunday, Montreal. Maybe that's going to be a little different now because of Campana. But, you know, I want to, this is, it sounds obvious to say, and it's the name of our show, but God, Lionel Messi is the best player to ever play soccer. And it's really not even close. Tonight, he was so much better than everyone. Every ball he got, even if there were seven Nashville players around him, he got out of it. He made a great pass. He made a great run. He made great connections. He was full of energy. He was getting, you know, he was getting battered. He was getting fouled. You know, the formations weren't working great. There were spaces, you know, gaps that there shouldn't have been. And through every single second, he was just immense. And it was amazing to see the goal he got. Four Nashville defenders around him outside the box were getting deja vu from last year. But this one, I mean, he made that goal with his eyes closed. And it was a perfect strike that no one else, like other players can't make it. No matter if they have, you know, 20 feet of space around them. And just, he's the best player in the world. And to this day at 36, 37, with all odds against him, I mean, it just wasn't even close.
Yeah, and he almost scored a similar one actually in the first half.
I know, off the one touch too, which would have been insane.
Yeah, that one was really nice. That one almost went in. Then he had that second opportunity that was blocked inside the area, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Messi's always going to be the difference maker. And I think that that's something that you can always kind of hedge your
bank on.
Yeah, you can kind of bank on is like no matter how much Inter Miami is struggling, Messi's always going to be the guy that can like that. What do they call it? That special card or whatever that you can play, right?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
There's a saying like the back of your pocket or something. I don't know. There's something like that. But basically, you can always depend on Messi no matter how the rest of the team is playing. And I think the team feeds off of that. And that's important. I mean, if Messi wouldn't have scored that first goal, I don't know how Inter Miami would have continue throughout the game if they would have been able to respond. That was just not only was that obviously a goal and it counts on paper as a goal, but it was also like from a moral standpoint, morale standpoint. It just, man, it breathes life. It like really
trump card, maybe what it's called.
Yeah, trump card. There you go. Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
not to get political, but
yeah. But it basically like that goal breathed life into the team, and it gave them hope and said, "Hey, there's still time. Like, there's still time for us to get back in this
ace in the hole." Sorry, that's actually what it is. It's ace in the hole. That is actually the one. Yeah. Both are good, but yeah. No, I listen. I agree with you. Look.
Oh, sorry about that.
Look, let's talk about this because agreed, Messi was immense. I thought Busquets also had a very good game. Gressel, not as great as he played Saturday, but still, you know, I think more positive than negative. Defensively, here's the thing. I think that Aviles and Freire are a great center back pairing, and I could already see just how good they are together and work well together, and especially in a back four, immense. Christophe is just over the hill. Players can just rip him up on one-on-one situations. The first goal of the game in the first 4 minutes, I mean, he got completely torn to shreds in that one-on-one, and he's a step behind when he had a couple good, you know, when it was long balls, he stopped them, and, you know, that's great, but he's not a reliable enough center back against quick, fast twitch players and attacks. And I think that the defense, for the most part, you know, it actually has been good, but tonight was a bad example of it because bad formation, bad personnel, bad tactics.
Well, that's the whole reason you brought in Freire, was because you were having it, you were having issues with Kristoff in the middle as your CB because he was getting beat on the ball. He was having issues coming out and timing his tackles or timing his coming out to try to press on the ball. He was having a lot of issues with that. And then Freire comes in. You've got fresher, faster, younger legs. And it worked perfectly, like you said, perfectly with Aviles. So how do you then break up those two, send them each on their own side, and throw Kristoff right in the middle? You go right back to the issues that you had from the very beginning. Like, that's why, to me, when we were talking about this, and I can't remember, I believe we tweeted this, it was Noah Allen we thought was going to be one of the center backs, as he's played center back before. It made more sense to have Freire as a center back and have Noah Allen as your left center back.
Yeah,
that made more sense. I still don't understand why Kristoff got inserted in there. Like, so there was just a lot of like decision making that I think really led itself to those issues on defense. And yeah, that third goal didn't count. Okay, thankfully, because of the offside. But that really told the story about what was going on with that defense from the very beginning, because it was two Nashville players. It was Morin and someone else that basically got the ball in that right wing, and they just went through everybody. They went through Busquets. They went through, I think it was Freire. It was like they went through five or six Inter Miami defenders, and the Inter Miami defenders and midfielders were just bumping. They were like bumper cars. They were just bumping off of each other. They didn't know what their position was. Like, they didn't understand their positioning. And I think that's what the issue was with this 3-5-2, at times 5-3-2. They didn't know where they were supposed to be. They were blowing their coverages. It was just all out of whack. And again, they were not used to playing a 5-3-2. On top of that, you throw in Gressel and you throw in Redondo. So, like, all of that was just kind of a nightmare all night long, and it just showed. But I'm going to say this, despite all of the troubles and despite the issues on defense, this team showed resilience.
Agreed. We never would have tied this game any years ago. Like even as last year, in the end of last season, even with Messi and everything, we never would have tied this game.
Yeah, I saw Freire shouted at Kristoff a few times.
I noticed that too. That's a great comment by Marvin. I noticed it too. I mean, yeah, Kristoff, hopefully, if anything, this game showed, and you know, our history with Tata says otherwise, but Kristoff is just such a step below the two that it just throws everything out of whack. And it's, again, I like Kristoff, and you know, he's a journeyman and he's done great jobs, and you know, for different scenarios, 65th, 70th minute, when you have tired legs, rotation needed, you know, etc., he definitely has a place, but he can't be starting. He just can't. He can't be starting. He gets beat by every single one-on-one. He's not near the speed of the other two center backs.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And it throws off everything. I want to talk about this comment by Okpare, and I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I disagree with this. I really do. Inter Miami had higher shots on target, possession, missed their chances, etc. What are you saying? Nashville had, if they had been clinical. Look, the possession, though, was not an accurate story. Like, the statistics, I don't think were accurate depiction of the game. Because, yes, we had possession, but we did nothing with it. And every single counterattack by Nashville, I was holding my breath thinking they were going to score because our formation and everyone's positioning was so off. So while, you know, we technically had the better statistics and everything like that, the game plan wasn't good and the individual performances for, you know, at least half the team wasn't good enough. And I do believe that if Nashville, you know, scored even, you know, one more of their counterattacking chances or just had a little bit more sort of like composure with the ball, it would have been a much different story with the scoreline. And so I appreciate the comment and, you know, every game can be seen differently. But in my opinion, I don't think the possession mattered in this game because we did nothing with it.
Yeah, I want to add to that. So, I mean, look, through we were down 2-0, right, after the first half. I think we had 70% possession at that point. Were we the better team? We were down 2-0. I don't think we were the better team. We Messi scores in minute 52. We're down 2-1. We had possession. We had shots on goal, shots on target. We're losing 2-1. Were we the better team? I don't think so. Minute 90, the 94th minute, we're losing 2-1, 70% possession, more shots on target, more chances. Were we the better team? No, we were losing 2-1. If it wasn't for the Boosie brilliance to Suárez, amazing header. And more header,
being 5 inches offside, yeah, 5 centimeters.
And Suárez scoring in the 95th minute. I mean, I understand what you're saying. The thing is that sometimes on paper, it paints a different picture than what you're actually watching on the field. So in that case, I will have to disagree as well. We were not the better team. We were losing until the 95th minute, down 2-1. And it wasn't lucky goals on Nashville's side where you can say, hey, we were balling them up and they just got lucky. No, you had Scheffelberg and those guys.
I mean, the second goal was a golazo. Like, that was a goal you don't see often. But
yeah. So I got to disagree on that one.
But I appreciate it. Look, that's part of why we do this, is because we want everyone's feedback and thoughts. And, you know, we all maybe thought other performances were better than others. It was a game where we have to remind ourselves that this is a work in progress and early in the season, and there's still a lot of, you know, changes and things to happen. What it did show me that makes me nervous is just how reliant we are on Alba, and the fact that without him, it seemed like everything fell apart, obviously. And that's just not sustainable, you know, with his age and with the amount of games we have to be able to have other options to keep a back four without Alba. And we'll see how that turns out. Hopefully, you know, this was an example of something that didn't work out tactically and personnel wise, but we still ended up with a pretty good result, which is like, you know, which is a tie game and two away goals. And I trust us in our house next week. Yeah, I mean, my blood pressure's through the roof, and I really thought that we were over the blood pressure issues after after Saturday when we won 5-0. I was like, wow, look at this. We're coasting. And, you know, that's the life of a soccer fan, of a football fan, right? You can never be too confident.
Yeah, but you also, I mean, yeah, I was definitely, I think many of us were very confident after that 5-0 win, where it was just complete domination of Orlando from the opening minute. But I think that we also have to keep in mind, like, as we look at this, this is a CONCACAF Champions Cup game away from home. And teams, especially in big stages like that, are going to do their best to play against Inter Miami and Messi. And they really, I mean, look, I saw this same team struggle against the Red Bulls. They tied 1-1 against I'm losing track of who that was, but they just tied 1-1.
No,
I can't remember who. This is
Montreal.
Yeah, I think it was against Montreal. So they tied 1-1. Like, this team got up to play against Inter Miami, and it just so happened that they did that to play against Inter Miami on a day where Inter Miami wasn't at their best, right? But at the end of the day, we got two away goals, and we have to remember that. And that's huge for us because away goals count in CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yeah.
So now, as long as we get a tie at home, we're going to go ahead and move on. So that's really important.
And I mean, I think we're going to win. I obviously, this is early, but I feel pretty good about this. This is a great comment by Sounds. Yeah. I Messi, his first half, while he wasn't as like super, super in the game, his all of his passes and obviously getting on the ball were so fantastic. But, you know, he did run off as soon as the halftime whistle blew. And then he seemed to have much more energy and, fitness for the second half. So whatever they shot him up with worked. Hopefully it's not going to hopefully it won't be long term. Yeah, I agree. Look, dominating, I think, has a lot of different like meanings, you know, in soccer. And so possession, statistics, being on the ball, etc. You can be super dominant in a game without possession. And that's, like I said, every time Nashville got the ball on a counter, even if it was in their own half, I was genuinely worried. And that paints the picture, you know?
Yeah, I think that as far as like domination is concerned, like, okay, I think that, yeah, like you can think of domination in the sense of possession. Yeah, like we dominated from a possession standpoint. But at the end of the day, like you look at teams like, for example, Inter Milan. They're a team that likes to play on the counter.
Yeah.
They'll go ahead and give you 70, 60% possession throughout the game, and they'll beat you 3-4-0.
Yeah.
And they didn't necessarily dominate possession-wise, but they dominated you with what their game plan was. Their game plan is to give you the ball, wait for those moments, and counterattack you. And that's how Inter Milan in Italy has basically operated for many years and been very successful, and they've been able to dominate in that way. So I think that...
So boring, though.
Yeah, no, it's boring, definitely. But I just want Leticia to kind of understand from like where we're coming from in as far as domination. Like, we're not saying that Nashville completely dominated Inter Miami. That's not the story either. But from a, like, we dominated in that standpoint as far as possession, but we didn't really, like, dominate as far as, like, goal scoring and give, I guess, imposing our will on them.
Yeah. I saw a couple comments about Robert Taylor and why did Robert Taylor not play? And that is a very good question. I have to really, really hope that it was a matter of attrition and, you know, maybe Tata Martino knowing that Campana, as of yesterday, obviously got hurt. You know, Suarez is not going to be able to play 90 minutes every single game. We're in three different tournaments. I am not going to play Robert Taylor if I don't have to, is what I'm thinking. And I mean, you know, in my opinion, starting in the 60th minute, he should have been like, okay, I have to play Robert Taylor, and he should have put them in. But that is my only hope, is that because of that true need of rotation and just wanting to save him. Otherwise, there's just like, there's no reason why he didn't come in, because he could have been a left wing back and made a huge positive difference in this game. Yeah, it's a great point, Ronnie, because, you know, Noah Allen, I think, actually is a very good defender. Not always perfect, but I think he does a very good job when it comes to defensive effort, especially for someone who's a little bit smaller, obviously, than the counterparts he plays with. But he's not, he has no offensive firepower, none. He's like Yedlin. And, when you have that issue, like they clearly took advantage of it, and Inter Miami kept trying to play from the left side and kept failing.
Yeah, and this is interesting. You're bringing this up. Redondo didn't play such a good game, in my opinion. That's where Ashley and I have a little bit of a different perspective. There, she believes that he did have a really good game, especially at the or he played well in the first half. I think he struggled.
He wasn't a man of the match, but I certainly don't think he was the worst player.
No, I don't think he was the worst at all. I just notably saw him struggling. I saw him what he looked like a guy that's playing his first match ever for a team. That just got to the team, is trying to understand the tactics, and is being thrust into the spotlight on a very important game away from home for a CONCACAF Champions Cup with a team that is thrown into a completely different lineup where they're trying to understand each other as it is, and there's already confusion. So he was noticeably nervous. He was more reserved looking to make sure he makes the perfect passes as opposed to sometimes making the more obvious ones. He was kind of hesitant. And I did notice some rust on him as far as like accuracy. So that's all I'm saying. I don't think he was the worst player at all. I just think he noticeably struggled.
Yeah. And I mean, I put up this comment by Marvin. I love this comparison. Redondo reminds me of Frankie de Jong. That's a really good comparison in my eyes because, and you, maybe you obviously as a Barcelona fan, Gian can attest to this more, but I think Frankie de Jong is one of those players where, you know, not every game is his best game and he doesn't always assert himself into the game, but I feel like you trust him on the ball and you trust him to be smooth and be a great collaborator and make, always thinking of the right decision. And I think that Redondo, especially in, like I said, in those first 25 minutes, I felt very comfortable every time the ball got near him. And it ebbed for sure throughout the game. He had ups and downs. It had some fall through. There was some rust there for sure. But I just immediately felt just the comfort in him and in his game and just his ability to I don't know, like just be in smooth, good areas. And I hope that his game is similar to Frankie de Jong and can provide that type of just stability in the midfield that we need.
Yeah, I got to agree with that comparison, the Frankie de Jong comparison. I mean, I don't feel what you just said. I don't feel right now, I'll be honest. Like, I don't feel that comfortability with him right now because of what I just explained. Maybe it's just like, you know, you feel something
different when you see players.
But I do agree that you brought him in knowing what he's going to be. And to me, yeah, that's a beautiful comparison. Frankie de Jong is who I think Redondo is going to very much look like within the next few games as he finds his footing and he feels more comfortable on the team. So I'm very happy to have him on there.
I will say, and maybe this is, you know, as good of a something we can agree on, is that from minute one, he tried to make himself a very big part of the game. And that is what we needed with the signing. You know what I mean? Like, we needed someone who was going to assert himself.
He didn't shy away.
Don't be shy. Be a part of that starting 11. Be a part of something that's going to try and make a noticeable difference for the team. That is what he was brought in to do. And I was very happy to see from minute one, he was trying to do that.
Yeah, Anthony, I actually think we have a really good center back pair right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't see it today, again, because there were three center backs. But if you watch the Orlando game and you watch the first two, when was Freitas' first game, Orlando?
It was Orlando. Yeah.
So right now, I'm comfortable with that pairing, and I feel very secure in the backfield with those two as our starting center backs. Again, it's just one game, but off of that one game, I think we're set right now as far as at the center back position on defense. We need some depth. We got Noah Allen, but yeah, Christoph is a guy that
we need depth in our fullbacks really
as well. Yeah.
But
Nashville was pressuring a lot. They were trying to make Inter Miami make mistakes. I think it's also game planning on Nashville's side because they saw how much Inter Miami struggled, especially in the first two games of the season against Montreal and then against LA Galaxy. Anytime those teams pressured high up on them and pressured Busquets or at times Gomez and Busquets and Gomez made mistakes. And that led to counterattacks and some goals. So I think that Nashville definitely studied that, and that was probably their game plan at the beginning.
Yeah, and Anthony, just to see your follow-up comment, my mistake, I meant great fullback, but not having a great fullback pairing. Exactly, 100%. That is for sure a big problem for us, is that with our fullbacks, especially now with no Yedlin, if Alba is not feeling well, just like tonight, it puts our defense in a real issue.
Yeah, but that's a great comparison. You remember when Gomez at the beginning, same way, Gomez struggled at the beginning. People were saying Gomez was trash, that Gomez this, Gomez that, and he found his way into the team. He found his footing, and Gomez, to me, right now, is one of our top midfielders. He's played amazing for us.
Yeah, and I think Busquets from LA Galaxy to now has had two very good, very consistent performances in the exact role he's meant to play, as a conductor, as a, you know, mitigator of potential issues on the other side of the ball. As long as he can keep that up, I would be very happy.
Yeah. So you have people that are agreeing with you with Redondo. That's a lot on your opinion with Redondo. They liked what they saw from him today.
I just look, I think I agree that it, you know, it wasn't perfect and there's a lot to improve on, but I thought for minute one, like I felt good about him playing. Yeah. Like I just did. And I think that that's a great sign when he was put in a very difficult situation, difficult formation, difficult environment. I just think that he's going to keep getting better every game. And I just liked how it felt minute one.
Yeah. Yeah. If this was a bad game, it wasn't a bad game, but it was it definitely wasn't a game. Like, I don't expect this from him. Like, he's going to be better and better from here. So if this was like the base, right, for what we're going to see for him, it's definitely a great base to start off with. Like,
Gressel in the preseason. We're like, exactly. Hey, yeah, he's trying stuff, but he's not giving us what we're expecting from him. And then, you know, he skyrocketed, and so you know, Redondo, I feel something similar. Yeah, I like this comment. A sense of that's exactly what it is. He just felt comfortable in the game and on the ball, and that just makes me feel like that's what we need. Is I think the biggest issue with some of our players is like the lack of composure that leads to, you know, the counter attacks or the leads to missed opportunities, bad final ball, etc. And obviously when you have Suarez and Messi and Busquets and Alba, you have like the most comfortability and the most composure in any moment. And so you see like a very stark contrast sometimes that, you know, can be an issue.
Yeah, I think that if Tata wants to pair Suarez up with somebody, he has somebody, he's got Campana that he would pair up with him. But something that we've seen with Tata in the past is he likes to just have Suarez up there or another center forward. Like, he usually doesn't pair two. He did it a few times, and he's definitely left the door open for that sort of formation where he'll have two center forwards. But it doesn't happen often. So I don't think that we necessarily need another striker to pair up with Suarez, because most of the time we're not going to have two center forwards up there. But if he ever does, he's got Campana. Tata.
Agreed. Okay, well, I mean, you know, on the East Coast, it's definitely getting a bit late, and so maybe we should start to wrap up. I want to know who is your MVP of the game and, you know, what we can expect moving forward. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You can go first. Go ahead.
Messi. It was one of those situations where he's so much better than everyone on the field by like a billion. And, you know, every time he touched the ball, I felt very good about it. And, you know, he scored one goal, probably could have scored two or three that, you know, maybe on another day he would. He was constantly creating chances, constantly getting us out of jams. You know, he'd be against five or six national players and he would get it out. And you know, it was one of those nights where even if he maybe was feeling a little tired, a little issue with his leg, a tough environment, a tough formation, it didn't matter. He's still Messi, and we're very lucky to have him.
Yeah, yeah. So I definitely agree with you. I think it's Messi. I mean, most of the time it's going to be Messi.
I know the show is called Messi and Co.
But just to not say the same thing, and it could definitely be Messi, I'm going to go Suarez. Because Suarez won the game for us at the end. And he's a guy that, man, like for a guy that people were afraid about his legs and about his energy and his age, man, we've seen him pick it up. He is nonstop running, nonstop pressuring. He's not only just hovering around the area, he's running to the wings. He's dropping down and helping on defense. He's running, well, not so far back defense, but in the center of the field, trying to help contain the ball. And then he still finds the perfect moment, the 95th minute, to make sure that we don't leave home. I mean, or leave Nashville to go back home with a loss.
Yeah.
And puts us in a great position. Now two away goals that could be very helpful, hopefully not needed, but very helpful. So I'm going to give it to Suarez on this one. Done amazing. That's two games in a row that he's scoring goals for us. And the only thing I'm afraid of is that he's got to continue. If he continues doing this good, he might get called by Uruguay to go to Copa America, because he is on fire. Like, I'm just so happy for him. And not only that, but hey, who stood up for Messi? Huh? He got he got right in front of Messi. Oh, I couldn't think of
someone worse to get into a fight with on the field than Suarez. Yeah. That's a good point. Messi has gotten into a fight with players in every game so far this season. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, he's
got into a screaming match with the other team every game. I'm like, who is this man?
He's reignited that fire that he lost over at PSG. So that's good to see. And Suarez is always with that fire, with that leadership.
He's like the Udonis Haslam of
Inter Miami. So that was beautiful to see a leader and a scorer and a guy that's always going to be there for his team. So I really loved that.
Agreed.
I'm not sure if we're ending it here, but if we're going to, I just want to remind everybody, hey, we're trying to get this out to as many people as possible. So we need you guys to go ahead and hit the little thumbs up button. If you're watching this on Facebook, if you're watching this on YouTube, the more you hit that button, it doesn't cost anything for you, but it just, for the algorithms, it's going to shoot this out to as many people as possible. So that's going to be really helpful. It'll get us more views and we'll be able to interact with more of you guys. So hit that thumbs up button and then make sure you guys follow 5 Reasons Sports. So that way you guys can get all of the videos and all the pods that we do. And I'm just going to actually put this up for you guys. I want you guys to follow us on Twitter, now known as X. Look, I'm going to put this on as a little banner so you guys can go ahead and see this. Right, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. We both
Messi
have,
and co.
We have our, you know, sort of quote unquote daytime regular jobs. We do this because we love it and it's, you know, it's a passion of ours and we want to keep growing it. So all the support, all the comments, all the sharing, it means a lot. We love these open discussions. The season still is just starting. We're 4 games in. Can be playing up to 60. So there's a lot more to happen. We have a big game Sunday against Montreal, expecting to see some rotations, hoping to keep our position at top of the league, top of the division. And then we play Nashville again next week for a very important, obviously, home game to keep moving forward in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your comments. Awesome discussions. We love everyone's perspective and players. We're going to go to bed because it's midnight and we're tired. And thank you again. This was awesome. Vamos Inter Miami. We have lots more great games and great wins to see.
Yeah. Yep. And Anthony, tweet me. Tweet me and I'll answer your question. We got to go. But tweet me and we'll go ahead and answer your question. Tweet us at Messi & Co. All right, guys.
Have a good night, everyone.
Appreciate y'all. Have a good night.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.